into our house here today. We thank you, Father, for speaking through your Holy Spirit already. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you, Lord, for what your presence means to us. We know that everything is possible when you are here. And so, God, we just open ourselves up to everything that is possible right now. Whatever you want to do, God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, God, and that you would, God, I just pray that you would say something that would just stir us all up today. Help us to hear your voice above everything else. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been working our way through the story of the Exodus in the book of Exodus, and today we find ourselves in chapters 13 and 14. We're going to kind of pick up the end of 13 here in just a moment, but we talked about a few weeks ago how they got into this whole mess to start with, right? How they got into slavery and everything, and that God was actually delivering them, and then things went crazy wrong there in Egypt, and eventually he called Moses to go and get them, and then last week we talked about the fact that when the Passover happened, when the angel came over and the firstborn of Egypt had died, the Pharaoh said, hey, y'all need to get up out of here. Like, that was the time to move. Like, there was no more waiting anymore. There was no more like, well, let's make sure we got all our stuff together first. No, that was the time to get moving. Well, once they got moving, and they got up out of Egypt, God had to take them somewhere, right? Like, God promised them this promised land, right? This place that he has designed for them. And so today we're going to look at that journey, particularly early on in that journey, and how sometimes when we follow God where he tells us to go, we recognize that he tells us to go places we wouldn't go if we was making things up, right? Like, if we were mapping things out. And so the reason I'm down here is because the best way that I know how to illustrate this to you geographically, because we're going to do a little bit of a geography lesson here today. Don't go to sleep right now, all right? Hold on with me. I promise. Stick with me here. But there's some geography that you need to understand here that I'm hoping what's going to happen is that when you see how it is the Israelites moved around, you might understand a little more clearly how it is that God has been moving you around in your life, right? So here's what I want you to get here. So imagine that Egypt is kind of over by the screen here, right? And so when Pharaoh says, okay, it's time for you to go, Moses rounds up everybody, and it's time to go. They don't even have time. Man, if I hear the phrase squishy bread again one more time, like, y'all are holding on to that. I appreciate it. Hey, I'm glad you remembered it. But they didn't have time to bring their squishy bread, right? They just had to go on with the unleavened stuff, right? They didn't have time. But if you look in Exodus chapter 13, down to verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So here's the deal. So you got Egypt over here, right? You've got the Mediterranean Sea here, right? And is the platform. That's the Mediterranean Sea, by the way. All right? And so they come up out of Egypt, and they're kind of going. So if they would just go up this way and around the Mediterranean Sea, they could go through the Philistine country, and Promised Land is like, it's just on the other side of the prayer room there, right? I mean, it's right there, right? So they come from Egypt over this way, but instead of going this way toward Philistine country, God says, no. Moses, don't take them that way, because if they go that way, they're going to encounter an enemy that they're not ready for right now. Instead, I want you to take them this other way. See, now what's weird about this is when God does this, most of the time we don't even know he's doing it, right? We know when he delivers us from an enemy because we saw that enemy eyeball to eyeball, right? But we don't ever see the enemy that he keeps us from. See, I just wish we got that right there. We don't ever see the enemy that he keeps us from. And so what happens is that sometimes we'll end up going places, and when we get there, we're like, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Like, I thought you loved me. I thought you were delivering me from slavery into this promised land, but it feels like you just got me out here wandering all around, when the truth of the matter is, we don't know what it is he's already saved us from. So maybe instead of just sitting around kicking the dirt, whining so much, we ought to just thank God for what we don't know he delivered us from. Oh, wouldn't that be a praise right there? Thank you, Lord. Like, what if we just lost our minds praising God over what we don't even know he delivered us from? Because here's what I bet you know some people that have gone through some things that you ain't never gone through. I bet you know some people who have gone through some things harder than you've ever had to experience in your whole life. You ever think for a second that maybe God just spared you from that? Because he knew that if you went through that, it might not end up the same way. You ever think about that? I just want to put that out there. Like one of these days, you might just want to just go ahead and lose your mind over praising God for things that you don't even know he delivered you from. Because he's been good to you, even if you don't know. But anyway, let me keep going on here, because I got a whole lot more I got to say. So verse 18, it says, so God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Okay, so catch this now. So Red Sea, so like this center section here, you guys are the Red Sea, all right? Don't think about that too theologically, because that's probably, anyway, I'm not going to chase that rabbit too far. So shortcut is this way. They get here, there's this fork in the road, and God says, don't take them the shortcut, because they're not going to be able to handle the shortcut. Take them into the wilderness, into the desert here, right? And so they start going out this way. And they're moving along, and everybody seems to be happy with this plan so far, right? But then we get down to chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, oh, this is so God. Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth. Nobody knows how to pronounce these names, by the way. Just sneeze. It'll be all right. Between Migdol and the sea, they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, watch this now, this is all part of God's plan. Catch this. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, like this is a good part of the plan, right? And he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Now here's what I want you to see. So they could have taken the shortcut and just, but God said, no, I'm going to spare them from this. Instead, he says, Moses, you take them out here into the desert, right? And then when they get there, God says, okay, I was just playing. Actually, take them back and go this other way. So now watch this, because as they're coming back this direction, which way are they headed now? Toward Egypt. You don't think the Israelites recognize that? You don't think that? Because here's another thing, too. This is what's so interesting here. And I'm going to try not to sit on this too long, because I'm afraid of what I might say. We know that God spoke this to Moses. And we know that Moses got the direction to, one, go out into the desert and then come back from the desert, heading back toward Egypt. We know Moses got that. We don't know how many of the million other people that were with him got that, right? And there's probably a whole sermon series right there on why it's important to trust spiritual leaders in your life. But I ain't got time for that right now. So you're just going to have to trust the Holy Spirit on that one. All right? Just seek him for yourself there and just see what God says in your life. But they come back this way. And so really what it is they kind of started on one side of the Red Sea. And now they're kind of coming around here. Egypt is here. Now they come around the other side of the Red Sea. Which again, like if you were like a military strategist, you'd probably think this is not the best plan here, right? Like, you had a natural barrier between you and the enemy, and now you've actually removed that natural barrier from you and the enemy. And so they come back around here, and as they're coming around, they begin to look around and notice some things, right? They notice the fact that now they're closer to Egypt than they were before. And they're probably thinking to themselves, this Moses has just lost his mind. If we'd have just taken the shortcut to start with, we'd never be in this mess, right? If we would have just kept on going before, we wouldn't even be in this mess. But Moses out here, he ain't even stopped asking for directions because you know he's a man, right? It's okay. He's just out here wandering around trying to find himself. Now he got us in this spot, right? When they get here, again, watch this. This is, you need to understand this about how God works. Part of the plan of God was that Pharaoh would notice that they're going all these different directions. And that when he noticed they were going all these different directions, which, by the way, every single direction was obedience to God. Let me just stop here for just a second. I'll come back to that in a minute. So many times we sense the direction of God and we move. And then as we're moving, we sense the direction of God in another way. And sometimes I think we steal what God said to us before, as if maybe we had missed something, and that now what we're hearing is actually God's voice, but that might not have been before. And what I want you to understand is sometimes God will move you in one direction, and then as you're going, as you are walking by faith, he will then use that faith to then move you in another direction. But that doesn't mean he wasn't speaking before. That doesn't mean you aren't going exactly where you need to be. You might have an enemy on one side and a barrier on the other, but that don't mean that God doesn't have you exactly where he wants you to be. Like, I've just read this word enough to know that sometimes when we are in the easiest points of our lives, that's probably when God is the farthest from us. But when we dare to say yes to God, even when it brings us into some hostile territory, that is sort of an environment for God to do the miraculous in us. But if all we're looking for, we ought not steal from God what he has already done in us just because we recognize that he has changed some direction in us. No, we just need to be obedient, whatever direction it is that he's giving us in that moment. Does that make sense? So here they are. Egypt is here. Red Sea is here. The army is coming, right? And they've already gone all these different directions, but now they're finally camped here. And when they get here, this is when it gets bad. All right. And the reason it gets bad is because the people start talking. Again, I'm not going to chase this too far either, but what's interesting, though, is when they start talking, there are some things that come out of their mouths that reveal what they have in their heart. Ooh, I hope y'all get this, because when we get into stressful situations, and that's really what this is here, like they are experiencing stress in a way that they have never experienced stress before. And they've gone through some crazy stuff. I mean, remember the days of slavery, and they had to, and they're making bricks and all this kind of stuff, right? They've gone through some things, but now they're experiencing the stress in a way they've never experienced before. And then they begin to talk, and out of their mouth comes what's hidden in their heart. And they say, "Oh my goodness!" So chapter 14, verse 11. Let me get this here. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Okay, so here's what I want you to recognize here. Just in that question, they were assuming failure. You see that? Now, what's really interesting about that is Pharaoh didn't go out there to kill them. Pharaoh went out there to bring them back. Watch this now. They are his workforce, right? He's not chasing them. He's not chasing them because he's mad at them. He's chasing them because he don't know who's going to do his next building project. Like, he's out of employees to work with here. Like he's got no way to do all of it, to accomplish all of his plans, right? He's not even going there to kill them. trying to bring them back, to enslave them once again. Isn't that just how the devil works, right? Pharaoh wasn't even trying to kill them. Wasn't even trying to kill them. But yet they got in their minds, like, what? So now we came out here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt? Oh, Pharaoh's not interested in your grave. He's interested in your arms and your legs. He's interested in enslaving you. Killing you defeats the purpose. If he just comes out there and kills everybody, he should have just stayed home and let them go. Right? Enslave some other Egyptians or something while you're there. You see how the devil twists some things in our minds, right? Isn't that how it works? We find ourselves in a stressful situation. And this is what I want you to recognize. Like part of the journey of following God is understanding that sometimes God is going to, on purpose, he's going to put you in some stressful situations. And when you get there, you're going to think there is no way possible this can work out. You're just going to assume that failure is the only option here. And what I want you to recognize is most of the time in those moments, the devil is showing you a picture of failure that is not even a possibility for existence. But the devil gets in your imagination, and before long, you have latched on to what must be the end, which is not even a possibility. See, in the journey, we've got to get beyond what we see. We got to get past assuming failure as the only option, and we've got to recognize that God is still able, right? Still in verse 11, they keep going. They keep talking. They just keep talking. He says, what have you, this is the Israelites speaking to Moses, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt, right? So not only have they assumed failure, but now they are blaming Moses for where they are, right? Doesn't it always feel so much better when you're in a bad spot to be able to blame somebody else? Doesn't that just make you feel better? It doesn't change anything, right? It doesn't change the circumstance you're in. It doesn't help you get out of it at all. It sure doesn't help the person that you're blaming, right? And truth be told, all Moses did was obey the word of God. All right, y'all, get ready here. Because when you obey the word of God, people gonna blame you for some stuff too. People going to blame you for wrecking their lives, right? When you start obeying what God is telling you to do, other people are going to blame you for their stuff. But this is what they went to. They kept talking in verse 12. They said, "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians?" So now, not only have they assumed failure, they're blaming Moses, but now they're even kind of falling back on complacency here, right? Like if you would have just left, we told you we didn't even want to be out here. I mean, we weren't happy in Egypt, but we could have made it work. We could have made it work. Right? Church, can we just be honest about the fact that we've been trying to make it work for too long now? It ain't working. It's just not working. Like, what we've been trying to do is just not working. Like, the way that we've been enslaved by old life, by dead life, by old sin, and the deadness that comes from sin, like it's not working. It's not leading us to happiness. It's not leading us to fulfillment. It's not leading us to faithfulness in God. It's not leading us to transformation. It's not leading us to deliverance and healing and wholeness. It's not leading us there. All we're doing is just pretending that maybe someday, but it's not going to happen unless we actually do something about it. They were just like, oh, if you just left us alone, we could just stay in Egypt. It would have been fine. And then they keep on talking there in verse 12. They just keep on talking. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. What I want you to hear is the complete and utter desperation of these people. To the point where they were ready to abandon God himself because of the desperation of where they were. See, the reason why I think it's important for us to look at some of the things that the Israelites are saying here in this point of stress, this tremendous point of stress in their lives, is I think we might all find ourselves in these places. We might find ourselves in such a point of desperation that we would even say, you know what? I don't even know if this God thing is worth following anymore. I just assume just go do whatever else, do my own thing, because this God thing just ain't for me. Like, I understand. I want you to get, like I get that life gets really hard sometimes, and it can be really difficult to think that, like, in the midst of all of this, that God is at work somehow. Yet what I want you to see is that even for the Israelites who come out of Egypt, who don't take the shortcut, but go out in the desert only to have God bring them back, and now they're facing this enemy, and so they've got the Egyptian army on one side and this barrier on the other, and all of this is in obedience to God. Like, how in the world why in the world would God lead them to this place of desperation? Like, why wouldn't God just lead them out? Why wouldn't God just deliver? Why can't God just make it easy? You ever wonder that? Like, God, it would be so much easier to believe that you are real and that you are doing this if you would just give me a break. Why does it have to be so hard? I'm going to be honest with you, like, I don't know entirely. But I do know this. I know that when we're in places of desperation, God is able to speak things into our lives that we would never hear in any other place. I know that when we're in places just like where Israel was, where the Egyptian army is on one side and the Red Sea is on the other, with only wilderness on the other side of that, like, it's in those moments where God, we are open to hear things from God that we would never be open to hearing from otherwise. Now, maybe we need to have a theological discussion as to whether that's a God you want to follow or not. But the truth of the matter is that God saved the Israelites. He saved them. And he was glorified over the Egyptian army and the Pharaoh and all of Egypt because of the obedience of Israel to be right where he put them. Verses 13 through 15, I think, are some of the funniest verses in all of Scripture. Says, Moses answered the people. This isn't the funny part, by the way. This is actually really real. This is good. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today," this is so bad right here. This is so awesome. "The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Well, our God is just straight up thug, isn't he? Like, oh my goodness. "The Egyptians you see today, you ain't never going to see them again." That sounds like something that, like, John Wayne would say or something, like, right? Like, oh my goodness. "The Egyptians you see today, you are never going to see again." And then verse 14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Now, this is Moses talking to the people, right? Here's the funniest verse I've ever read in my whole life. Then verse 15 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" Now, again, I want you to see what Moses told the people in verse 14, what God told the people in verse 15. Now, Moses sounded real spiritual and faith-like, and I believe that he was like the voice of God to these people. But what he tells them is, "You ain't never going to see these people. All you got, you just stay in there. You just stay in there and watch the victory of God." And God comes in and is like, no, I need y'all to go. Come on, go. Right? It's like, stop listening to Moses. Listen to me. Like, y'all get up out of here, right? Come on, go. That's hilarious to me, right? Because again, that's all part of the journey, I think, sometimes. Like, part of our journey is that we are, like, all in on this thing, right? Like, we're going to let God use us, and we're going to save the world, and it's going to be awesome, right? And we get out there, and we say some bad stuff, right? Like, oh, like, everybody out here that's unsaved at my job, at my workplace, I'm going to get all y'all saved. Y'all are going to be, we're going to have churches right here. In fact, we're going to change the name of the business to Church Business, all right? Or stuff, whatever. We're going to just make it all happen. In fact, all y'all got to do is just stand here and watch it happen. And the Lord come in like, oh, no, bro, you need to get some Bible study going, and you need to talk to people, you need to share the gospel with people, you need them to share the gospel with you, you need them to get up out of here and go talk to their family and their friends and everything. Like, don't just sit here, like, go do something, right? That's part of the journey, though, is that as we are walking by faith, we are saying things by faith. And as we go, the Lord will course correct us. That's not to say that what Moses said was bad or that any part of it was untrue. But as we're going, he's like, that is so pretty. That's so great. That's an amazing view of faith. Can you just, man, do that a little bit, right? Just take that and let's just steer it a little bit left there. Just kind of go back over. Like, it's great that you're on fire, but I'm going to need you just to focus that attention just a little bit over this way, right? It's all part of the journey. See, that's part of the reason we do this discipleship material and that kind of stuff. And I say things like, nobody is born knowing how to be a disciple who makes disciples. Nobody. All I want you to do is to have the faith to take the step to say, I'm going to be a disciple that makes disciples. And as you go, you walk by faith. And as you go, the Lord is going to say, that is so wonderful. If you could just, like, do a little bit, right? A little bit. It's all part of the journey. Let me show you how this journey ends, at least for this part of it anyway. In verse 21, he says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a water of wall on their right and on their left. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. I think it's important for us to recognize that the Israelites would never have seen it. And for those of you who are old enough to have seen the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, all that kind of stuff, right? This is probably the point of the story that you remember the most, right? He lifts up that staff, the waters part, they go across, and that's that. And that is a tremendously significant part of the journey. But what I want you to recognize as well is the Israelites went through a lot of steps before they got to that part of the journey. So many times, we want to see the miracles of God, but we're not really interested in the journey to get there, right? Like, we want to see God deliver us, we want to see God heal us, we want to see God save us, we want to see God redeem us and set us free from all these different things. Like, we want to see the miracles of God happen, but we're not always interested in the journey it takes to get there. Because to be in the place where the miracle happens is as scary as you can imagine. It's as scary as an Egyptian army on one side and a natural barrier on the other. And here you are, a million people with nowhere to go. What if in the midst of our journey, we actually just walked across the sea? What if we just actually what if we trusted God enough to say, you know what? Even though the way you're taking me is not the way that I want to go at all, I'm just going to be there. And if it looks like everything is going to just go terribly wrong, then Lord, I'm going to go terribly wrong with faith in you.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Because let's be honest, life can go terribly wrong either way. I'd rather have a Savior on my side who can redeem me in the midst of it. I'd rather have a God who's the creator of all that is, that can part waters, that can make things happen that have never happened before, natural, supernatural, otherwise. If we're all going to go through stuff one way or the other, that is so terribly challenging and so terribly heavy on us, wouldn't you rather go through that with a God who can actually part the seas to get you through, rather than feeling like you're just going through it on your own? Stand with me, if you would, please. Stand with me, please. Everybody, please stand with me. In this journey with the Lord, we are always going to encounter things that we would rather not encounter. What we have to decide is, are we going to spend all of our time whining to the leader, Moses, about why things aren't the way they should be? Or are we going to trust God in the midst of that? Let's